Wednesday night Bible study. We'll be meeting this Wednesday, May 14th at the church at 7 p.m. for our study of the parables of Jesus. This week we are looking at the parable of the persistent widow, which is found in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. There are handout sheets on the podium for this week's study. We have received an invitation from Grace Baptist Church to attend their Wednesday evening meeting this week on May the 14th. Mark and Gretchen Potma, who are serving as missionaries in the Czech Republic, will be the guest speakers for this service. Please let Kevin Augustine know if you plan to attend this event. And then an important announcement that on Sunday, May the 18th, the induction service for Pastor James will be happening here at our church at 3 p.m. Please plan to attend this special service in the afternoon. I'd like to welcome you to our service this morning on this beautiful, sunny May day and to say Happy Mother's Day. Our call to worship is from Proverbs 31, verses 30 through 31. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Please join us as we lift our voices with the hymn, Faith of Our Mothers. Please stand if you are able.
Church family, God our Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your care, and your love for us. Lord, we thank you for mothers, that you created us in families, that we would have the nurture and the care and love of a mother in our life. And Lord, whether we had our mothers for a very short time or whether we still have mothers that are caring for us, Lord, we just thank you for our mothers. We just thank you that you are sovereign, that you love us. And Lord, we just thank you for all of your blessings upon us and the reasons that we have to celebrate not only our moms today, but also the goodness that you provide to us. Lord, we especially thank you for the salvation that you provided through Christ's death on the cross. Lord, we just can't possibly be thankful enough for that wonderful gift of salvation, that hope that we have that someday we'll be with you in heaven. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your church and this church family here. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity and freedom that we have to come and worship you in this place. Lord, we just thank you for the message in your word that we're going to look at this morning. And Lord, we just ask that you speak to us through the music that we sing, through the scripture that's read. And Lord, we just pray that this time here together will be a blessing. Lord, we just thank you for so many gifts that you give to us. We thank you for your provision for our needs, for food and for shelter. And Lord, we just thank you for work and the ability to serve and interact with people. But Lord, we also thank you for the ability to witness to others, whether it's our neighbors or our families or people that we work with. Lord, you give us those opportunities. Help us to not pass those by. Lord, we thank you for our missionaries that are serving in other countries, not only our Baptist missionaries, but even other missionaries. And we thank you for the Potmas that are going to be at Grace Baptist this week, and we thank you for their service in the Czech Republic. Lord, we know that you watch over them as they serve you in different countries. And Lord, we just ask for your protection upon them. We know that some missionaries are serving in places that are very dangerous, and it's difficult situation, but Lord, we just place all of our missionaries in your care, that you watch over them and protect them. Lord, we just thank you for this community and this church. Lord, we just thank you that it's a reminder to each person that walks by and each child that crosses the field to go to school that that there is a God, that this is a church and a place of worship. And Lord, we just pray that as you prompt people to stop in and ask questions, we just pray that we can be loving and provide answers and, Lord, provide direction for them that they will seek after you. Lord, we just thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the comfort that you give in times of sorrow and loss. And we just pray for families that are going through difficult times because of loss at this time. Lord, we just ask for comfort. Lord, you know the needs of each one in our congregation, and we thank you that you provide for our needs. There's things in our congregation and that people go through or deal with, and we just may not even know what somebody's situation is, but you know, and we just thank you that you are always providing the comfort, the strength, and whatever we need, we can just call out to you. Lord, we just thank you for the message for this morning that's coming from your word. We just thank you for James and the message that he's going to bring. Lord, we ask that it speaks to each one of us. And Lord, as we continue in our worship this morning, I just ask that you be with us. May your spirit be with us and that we will be drawn to your presence this morning. Lord, we just thank you for the other churches, Baptist churches and other denominations that are worshiping you this morning. And we just know that you are there and present in every service where you are being recognized as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we just ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.
The reading this morning is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 11, and then verse 22 through 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his word.
So I want to say a good morning to each and every one of us who have found time to be in this worship experience this morning. I also want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here present. Potential mothers, mothers in waiting, every person who has a heart, a caring one for that matter. Because motherhood is not about just childbirth. Motherhood is about having a heart that cares, the willingness to see growth in the lives of those around, especially children. That's why we have those who could be biological mothers, but in the real sense, they are not mothers because they don't care. They don't take out time to invest in the growth of their children. That's why we are able to have moms who became moms by adoption, those who go all out to look out for children who are orphaned, either because those who gave birth to them were not expecting or were not ready, or maybe they died, or they went missing. So motherhood is about amazing women. Motherhood is about women that are a blessing, ladies that are a blessing, the biological female gender, because now we have a lot of definitions. So, gender assigned by birth, like some people would say, female. Those who have the XX chromosomes. Those are the people I am addressing today as a Baptist person. That doesn't mean that I don't appreciate the efforts of others who might fall in other categories, but then, because I'm a Baptist, I'm a creationist, and I believe in the scripture, I will stay with that. So this morning, I will be sharing with us the blessing of amazing mothers or amazing women. The blessing of amazing women. Interestingly, the Bible tells us in Genesis, God created man. And then after creating man as Adam, he saw that it wasn't good for the man to be alone. And so the Bible says God put him to a deep sleep, and from his ribs, God makes a woman. And how did we know this is a woman? The Bible says he wakes up from his sleep and sees this new creation. He'd seen all the animals. He'd named them. But when he saw Eve, he said, this, he fell under a prophetic anointing. And he said, this is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. And he said, she shall be called a woman. The one with the womb. A mankind or a humanity with the womb. And so, it means in God's sight, there is a need for the male and the female gender in all sense of his supremacy to push on his agenda on the earth. And so the Bible says, God created man in his image, male and female created he them. So I always say, men are the masculine expression of who God is, while women are the feminine expression of who God is. And so when we look at the qualities and the characters of God, especially the communicable attributes of God, you will see some that seem feminine, you see some that feel masculine. And that's why some people get confused in calling him a she. Though, even the word he, because for want of words, we would describe God that way, but the Bible says God is spirit, so God is not a human person. But then we got who we are from who he is. And so the Bible says, and God blessed them, and he says to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And at the end of the day, the Bible says God saw what he had created, this man, this woman, and he said they were good. Good in the essence of who God is, not good in who they are as individuals. Good in the essence of the fact that they were created in God's image. And so when we celebrate Mother's Day, we are celebrating a good thing. We are celebrating the goodness of God. I always say, if you imagine a world without female or without women, without mothers, I can assure you, and you will agree with me, that world will be too terrible. Sometimes, as men, we are kind of stiff. Most of the flexibility that comes to life seems to come from the women's side. I'm sure that women will agree with me more than the men. So, for everyone who found themselves on this earth, including our Lord and Savior Jesus, he had to pass through the woman. So, there is actually nobody that arrives here on this planet that doesn't have something to do with the woman. God blessed the women and put in the women the ability to multiply, to give life. Yes, we have contribution from the men, but then it will not be something tangible without the woman who receives that seed and the egg is fertilized and carried within the womb. And so it's a great work that women do. Yes, there are women who do not bear children through their womb, but that doesn't make it different. Some have to have surrogacy in order to be able to have their own kids, IVF, a whole lot of things that are going on. Yes, people have their challenges on ethical issues as comes to that, but the truth is this. It's still women that still do surrogates who carry those children for those who cannot, for whatever medical reasons, physical reasons, spiritual reasons, whatever the reasons are. And so they help people to birth joy that they could not carry by themselves. And for me, that's a great thing. But then our place of concentration this morning takes us from the Easter story of the resurrection of Jesus and then brings us into the focus of these women who were Jesus' disciples. These women that were Jesus' addicts. These women that were Jesus' lovers. These amazing blessings that helped us that we as a body of faith will still be here today and have stories and have our faith encouraged because we had these few women who would live out their faith, live out their care, and be those who will carry the story of Jesus' resurrection. Can you imagine if we did not have these women, we wouldn't have the story of the resurrection. The Bible tells us they woke up early and then they were going to anoint the body of Jesus. They knew their limitation, they knew their frailty, they had bought oil, perfumed one, which they would use to anoint him so that he doesn't smell. You know, it's like an embalming thing, and that will preserve the body. Only for them to get closer to where they are going to realize that they do not have the capacity to roll the stone away. At that time, they remembered they would definitely need a man. And as their thoughts were going, God sent his angels ahead of them, and so the stone had been rolled away. They get there, Jesus had already gotten out. And so they go back after being ministered to by the angels that Jesus had gone over and they should meet him up in Galilee, that they should go and tell the disciples. Meanwhile, as at this time, the disciples who ought to be the men in a patriarchal society were hiding away. Hiding because they were afraid. Jesus had been taken, he had been crucified. They had denied him. They had stayed far. Only the women gathered the courage and the boldness to still go and identify with someone who was killed as a criminal. And that tells a lot about the heart of a mother, the heart of women. Many times in life and through life, women hold the heart of compassion that does not give up easily
on anyone. It's always easier for the men to say, I'm done with that and I'm done with it. And you just ask yourself, just like that, it flips. But the woman still holds on that son, on that daughter, on that situation, even to even believe in their husband, the one who is not getting into his goals or his vision as he thought he would have, as he planned out. That woman who is loving and caring still stays, spurs him on, encourages him. Or for the man that is not strong in his faith as he should, you see women spending time in their war room, kneeling down, praying, trying to speak to this man on why he should love God, why he should take the priesthood of the home and be the one leading in spiritual matters. The Bible tells us this women would go and they told the disciples, he is risen. And did you hear what the Bible said? The disciples, these men who had been with Jesus on the tutelage, schooling, so to say, with this rabbi for 3.5 years, they said, you are speaking nonsense. They never sounded differently from their society. Their society then, if a man said something, they placed premium on it. In North America, you may not have too much of that. Because I think the North American society places premium on women more than it does. Sometimes men feel that the women are treated better. In the African society, we are blessed, it's patriarchal. Especially looking at from a side from Nigeria, so we have a patriarchal society more. But then when I moved to my other side in Ghana, we are matriarchal. So in Nigeria, for example, when we sing our national anthem is Fatherland. I don't know if the new one has changed it, which used to be the old one. But then in Ghana, when that is sung, it is Motherland. So I remember the first time I found myself involved in a funeral in Ghana. Unlike what I know in Nigeria, the one who was the MC happened to be women. And it was strange to me because if I go to funeral activities in Nigeria, the women don't, they are not the ones in charge, it's the men. But I discovered that in Ghana, it's the women. They get to coordinate everything and, you know, they are the spokesperson and all those things. I said, wow. And so there's more premium on women because it's the motherland. Even though in so many areas, you see men more. It's a motherland, but with patriarchal face. So if you look at that closely, you get to understand these women were in a Jewish society that placed more respect and more premium on men than women, yet they had faith enough to go to where men would dread to go. They knew the soldiers were there. They knew the order had been given. Nobody must go there. Anyone who steps to that place was a suspect because they had said Jesus will be stolen by his disciples. So women were not going to be excluded either. But they still went anyway while the men locked themselves up. Why did they lock themselves up? The Bible said, for the fear of the Jewish leaders and of the Roman people or Roman authority. So they locked themselves up that when you knock the door, they have to say, who is there? And the women shows up and they say, he, his reason, has a promise. You need to meet him up in Galilee. And they said, this is nonsense. Now, can you imagine that coming from the disciples? Let's leave out the others, but say the 11. And they say to these women, what you said is nonsense. That's like, we don't believe you. Or it's like saying, no, how can he resurrect? It's like saying, are you sure you guys didn't have some stuff to drink this morning? Because to say to those women who had been around Jesus' ministry, and they knew them. So they were not just random strangers saying whatever they felt like. They were people who had served with them. They were people who are supporting the ministry of Jesus. They were people who went with these other 12 men who had been his disciples. They were around them preparing food, supporting the ministry even financially. So when they come and they say he is risen, you would expect that they would believe it. But they didn't. And so they had to say, okay, let's send men like us to go and check. And so they had to go. And then when they got there, they discovered what the women had said, which they did not believe was actually true. And fast forward into verse 22 to verse 24, we dealt with the issue on the Emmaus Road. We talked about it, if we remember. And then while those two disciples or two of that were going, two disciples were discussing, they said again, it is now 3 days we have not known what has happened to him. But the women came and they told us. And when they told us, the rest of the men folk of the disciple had to send. And they went to check and they discovered that what the women said is actually the same. They did not find him. So we don't know what is happening. And Jesus was right there with them. What I intend to do this morning, therefore, is to see, share with us, and help us to realize and be reminded of what we know about Christian women, amazing women that God has planted in our church here, in our lives, in our families, in our communities. Because even our faith would not be where it is today, if not for women. And sometimes through the church history, there is deliberateness to suppress the faith exploits of women. How that God used them, even in contemporary church history, to help us preserve and to have the faith that we have till today. And I'm saying it, it's unfortunate, but it has happened over centuries. Exploits that are done by women in so many of our church thing have been locked down so that the women would not see and know how powerfully God has used them and how much they have been a blessing. And we are saying, as a congregation, as a people, we will not be so. And we join the church and we join our nation, Canada, to say Happy Mother's Day to all the women that have shaped all the communities, lives, and blessings that we have had to enjoy. So I say again, motherhood is not just about birth. It is more about the heart and the care. So these women that we saw are women of a common faith and poise. So what is it? What are the lessons we can see from their lives and we should also appreciate in the mothers or the women God has put around us? Two, for those of us who are mothers, these are things that we should carry, exemplify, and help to also inculcate into younger women. Because in the writings of the New Testament, especially the letters, he said the elder women or the older women should do what? They should mentor the younger women so that they will become women of virtue. They will be mothers and they will be the leaders that they are. So the first thing we will see from Luke chapter 24 from verse 1 to 11 and 22 to 24 is number one, caring. When we talk of amazing women, they are women that are caring and concerned enough about those that God had put into their lives. The women cared about Jesus both when he was alive doing ministry. They supported with their finance. They did the cooking. They took care of things. But then even in his death, they were concerned that he would not be smelling. Can you imagine there are people who do not care, even in our being alive, whether we are okay or we are not okay? Many a times, except a mother that is another kind of person, most mothers care what is going on, even the least detail in the lives of their sons and their daughters and their husbands. They are willing to stick out themselves and be genuinely concerned. So the display of authentic femininity is genuine love. Women love with the whole of their being when they choose to and are devoted to. For men, God helps men a lot. We try. But I would always say that we don't love the way women love. Because if a man truly loves you, the man truly loves you. But then many a times, men love based on the respect they perceive. If a man does not perceive that you respect him, then the love is like this. But then it's funny, and I don't know whether you have noticed that. Most of the time, why do people remain in abusive marriages or relationships? Have you listened to some people who have been involved in that? Oh, he loves me. He just gets crazy sometimes. I understand him. He really loves me. So this guy will get violent and deal with the lady, and you expect the next thing is that lady won't go back. And then you who are trying to mediate and say, you have taken the right decision. That's good. Nobody should whip you like that. What's that? Why should he be that violent to you? And then the next minute, he said, I am back with him. Are you okay? Oh, I love him. The way I love him, he will change. I'm praying for him. And then you're wondering, oh Lord, help her not to be beaten to death. Why? Because when a woman loves, she loves with the whole of her being. And she's ready to, when the Bible says love overlooks multitude of sin. Many times women are able to do that conveniently. For men, you have to select whether that is possible. Secondly, these women were self-motivated. They took the initiative. I'm telling you, if they had consulted with the disciples, we want to go and to go and anoint Jesus, what do you think they would say? They wouldn't encourage them to go anywhere. They won't. Because they were hiding away. So how on earth would you come and say, we want to go and anoint his body? He's dead. Can you stay alive by being protected? That would be a good counsel and the best advice. But the Bible says anyway, these women took the initiative. They were unapologetically proactive, even for a patriarchal society. These women had courage. They went with boldness. These women were loyal. They were loyal to Christ, even in his death. They would take risk. They knew that it was dangerous. They knew there were soldiers there. But they would take risk. Why? Because they loved Jesus. Because they were loyal to him. And they would go all the length of the way. By nature, women are very sacrificial. And when God blesses you with a mother, a wife, a sister, an aunt, faith mothers in the church who are sacrificial and are willing to be givers, then it's an amazing blessing that is priceless. The women spend their money for a lifeless person. In my little life as a minister, and sometimes you get involved in funerals, especially I'm talking from the African side. Now, sometimes you get the coffin, and then the families are supposed to, you know, come, and then in some places the coffin is open and people will need to go around. I'm telling you, many a times women will get there and they will cry so much. But in the midst of their cry, something baffles me. They're trying to adjust if they are dressed him with a tie and the tie bent, they are adjusting the tie. The guy is dead. But they are adjusting the tie so that the tie will look good. And I'm wondering, does he know? Does that move him? But then all of us who are men, we just pass through. Okay, But women cry and they are worried on how it looks on him. And that's very strange to me. But then that is something about women that even in debt, except you have been terrible. If you have been a terrible person, and unfortunately she can't cover it, oh, then she will look at you with a good smile, finally. But if you have been good, oh, then she's concerned all the way. These women were adventurous enough not to take out time to think through all the process. To say, okay, so when we buy the oil, when we get there, so how do we think we're going to do with the soldiers? What are we going to do? What are we going to say to them? They never spend their time. Scripture never told us they spend time, you know, looking for the perfect scenario, looking for the perfect moment to get this action done. All they just wanted to do is to get out there, identify even with him in debt. Make sure he smells good. Another thing is that my brother knows in Ghana, most of the time when we have funerals, so we have some of these women, they will have this, their pef. And so while you are busy with all the crying, they still, they don't even want you to smell anything about the person who is gone. And then there's what we call the tombstone ceremony. Most of the time is a year after the person had passed on, then we'll have this tombstone ceremony. They put a fine tombstone, most of the time marble, and it's looking nice. You write whatever you want to write, you know. And so they're going there, and interestingly, women still have their perf. And I'm wondering, he's not going to be smelling because it's covered. The slab, it's marble, it's looking clean. We have to unveil it because many times it's covered with something and then you unveil it. But then they say, and then even when they do not finish it, and that's a worldview, they will put the remnant on the tomb there. And I'm wondering, who is going to use what is remaining? But then you have to respect people and culture and their customs. So, okay, I'm wondering, is the person going to wake up somewhere along the line and need to use this perf that we have left up here? Or another human being who is walking around may need the perf and use it. But whatever, it's left there. That's to tell you the level of the heart, the compassion into what they do. Now, these women were spiritual enough to recognize the angels as well as Jesus. And when we are blessed to have women who know Jesus, who understands the revelations of God, as a mother, as a sister, as a church community person, we are blessed. The Bible speaking concerning Timothy, Paul said, I see in you the faith that was in your mother, which was first seen in your grandmother. That's what I'm seeing in you now. Timothy was the bishop of Ephesus. But then Paul could zero in to say, what faith I see in you, it's a product of your grandmother to your mother, and it has impacted you. So it means that if we're blessed with Christian mothers, we have better chances of having men that turn out to be better to their women. We have ladies that are able to celebrate and rejoice and be okay with being feminine without feeling out of place. The women were convinced enough to go and tell a story that sounded stupid. A story that even the disciples, apostles, will not believe, that they said, this is nonsense. It's like saying, you guys are mad. How can you come here and tell us his reason? But then the one, the angel, and even Christ in some report who had appeared said, go and tell. And so they went. They were willing to share the revelation, the encounter. They were obedient enough to go and do the instruction he has commanded them without being afraid that it would sound like a fiction. They didn't care that it would sound like a fantasy. They went all the way. They were fearless to declare to the disciples what they had seen, what they had heard, what they had been instructed to do. So when we talk of amazing mothers, we are talking of mothers that are not ashamed to share the love of God with others, that are not ashamed to share the victory of the cross with others. They are not ashamed to speak of the testimony of Jesus to people in and around their lives. They are willing and interested in obeying Christ alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. These women were crazy enough to share their encounter with men whose mentality would not place premium to the testimony or witness of a woman. In fact, in the Jewish setting, the woman was not seen as a valid witness that much. That also happened for a long time, even in places like America. Women were seen as not the same as men. They were not seen as a whole human person. They were even assumed to have lesser IQ to men until science started proving all those things as nonsense. But long ago, God has always believed in the ministry of women, used women, and will always keep using women to be a blessing to our society. So what we are praying for is more godly women, more Christian women, more women with love, genuine love and compassion, more women that would help to move society forward in the right direction because they believe in Jesus, they've encountered Jesus, and they are not ashamed to share him with others, especially starting with their family, their children, those connected to them, their husbands, whichever person that comes around them. These women had strong conviction about who Jesus is as the Son of God, who Jesus is as the Messiah, who Jesus is as the one who is the life himself and the way and the truth. As we celebrate Mother's Day today, I celebrate and thank God for all women who have been pioneers to help society get better. I celebrate the women of Ambassador Baptist Church who has been a part of the journey, the part of the story of keeping our church alive. Those who have come and gone into glory, some has. But those who are here and those who will yet come, I want to say that this Mother's Day is the celebration of all of you who are amazing women that God has blessed us with, and we are grateful. And we know that the Lord will continue to keep you. The Lord will continue to strengthen you. And so this is a day we need to, not just only today. Today is just a reminder that we need to celebrate mothers. We need to celebrate women, those that God has blessed our lives with. You don't need to wait till Mother's Day. Every day is a good day to celebrate that woman, that lady that God has put into your life and into your family. Especially when it's a woman of faith that is helping your life, pushing you, encouraging you. We need to pray for them. Learn to send gifts to them. Learn to spoil them. Take a time to be around them. Learn to help them know and hear often that you love them and appreciate them. Whatever we can do to encourage and support and be a blessing to the mothers, the women that God has put in our life as a church and as a people, it's a blessing for us. And it's a testimony to the ministry of Jesus, who throughout his ministry made sure that women were treated fairly, were treated well, were treated with honor, in spite of the patriarchal society that prevailed then. Should I say we are living in a world far better? Because it listens more. Women have a lot of equal opportunities. That doesn't mean in every area is as equal as it should be. But thank God it's not what it used to be. And God forbid that as a church or as a people, we will allow ourselves to treat women far less than the honor that Jesus has placed on them. And so as we would go today, we are going with a resolve in our hearts to value women, especially women of faith, to encourage women, to support women, to celebrate the uniqueness in the life of every woman that God has surrounded our lives with. And for those of us who are women, mothers, ladies here, we must say to ourselves, I matter, and God has created me uniquely to be a blessing to this church, to Windsor, to Canada, and to the world at large. And when we have that resolve, then we will be like Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of John and James, the Zebedees, or Mary, Salome, whatever of the Marys and the other women. And we would say, even when men are not strong or bold enough, are not taking the initiative, we will move by the Holy Spirit. Because what the Bible says, it said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will do what? They will prophesy. And that means the Holy Spirit comes upon all. And that means all are available vessels to be used for him to his glory. So that's my submission for us this morning. As I close my mouth, I will take a bit of a twist to the fate of our mother. I will take the African version that I have here. Fate of a mother's living still in cradle songs and bedtime prayers in nursery laurels and fireside love, and thy presence still pervades the air. Fate of a mother's leaving faith, we will be true to thee till then. Fate of a mother's loving grace, found of a childhood's trust and grace. Oh, may thy consecration prove source of a finer, nobler race. Fate of a mother's living faith, and we will be true to thee till that. Fate of a mother's guiding faith, for youthful longings, youthful doubt, how blow our vision blind away. Thy providence shall keep without. And fate of a mother's guiding faith, we will be true to thee till that. And fate of a mother's Christ and faith, in truth beyond our stumbling creeds, still serves the home and save the church, and breathe thy spirit through our deeds. Fate of a mother's Christ and faith, we will be true to thee till there. So, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here who has been a support to my ministry since I've been here, and will continue to support and make ministry better as we continue on the journey. I also want to say happy Mother's Day to my wife, who would watch or listen to this later, for being always there so that this young guy would have had his life so blessed for the past 27 years. I also want to celebrate our daughter, who is the deputy mother of the family. She's about 25 going. She clocked 25 February. So, and then my mom, who knocked me on every side possible because I was blessed to be stubborn while I was younger, but then lived to see me progress to become the minister I have been or become better over the years, and transferred the motherhood to my wife to continue the job. So I'm grateful. She's gone to be with the Lord. That's since 2021. So I am grateful for all of you, and I celebrate all of you who are mothers. And for those of us who, you know, you have a mother, maybe they've passed on, or you have someone around you that's like a mother, please call them up today. Say hello. If you can, visit them. Just celebrate these wonderful people that the Lord has blessed us with. And for those of us who are potential mothers, who are saying, one day I'm going to be a mother, please don't worry. God's strength will carry you through, and his grace is sufficient. Can we bow our heads this morning? Father, we are grateful for this time we have spent together. Thank you for the privilege you have given to us to remember these amazing people that you blessed us with as mothers, as women, as brothers, as sisters, as aunties. We are grateful, even in the church, for wonderful women who have continued to support. Oh, as we saw in the story of Jesus, how they ministered with him, for him, and they would go all out, even in his death, remain loyal and remain encouraged and carry the testimony and witness of his resurrection. May we all, oh God, as we celebrate the mothers, may our mothers, the women in our lives, in our ministry, and in our environment, continue to be the good women that God has empowered and endowed them to be. May we We pray, oh God, that for each and every one of us, may we continue to be blessings and appreciate mothers, women, those who are put in our lives and in our journey. Oh God, and as we continue, we pray for every mother who is struggling, having some challenges here and there, either in their spiritual walk, in their physical walk, in their relationships, in their marriages. Whatever is the challenge, we ask, oh God, that by your Holy Spirit, oh God, strengthen them. And let this be the beginning of greater beginning. And now there are mothers there, ladies there, who have not given their life to Christ, just like other men too. We pray, Lord, let your conviction be battered in their heart. And let them come to the saving knowledge of you as Jesus, as Lord, and our Messiah. Thank you, Lord, because we know our world will continue to get better. We pray for all the mothers in Windsor. We pray for all the women all over Canada, North America, and globally. That, Lord, you can need to use them to make our world be a better place. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.